I wonder if you could turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 29. In my Bible, it's on page 945. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. This is God speaking. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith Jehovah. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you in your latter end a hope. Now, in the book of the Psalms, Psalm 146. Psalm 146 and verse 3. Put not confidence in nobles, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. His breath goes forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day, his purposes perish. Blessed is he who hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in Jehovah, his God. Into the New Testament, the Epistle to the Galatians in chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2 and just the end of verse 20. The Son of God, who has loved me and given himself for me. And just across the page, across a couple of pages into the Epistle to the Ephesians in chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll just read from verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye, once nations in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that called circumcision in the flesh done with the hand, that ye were at that time without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were afar off are become nigh by the blood of the Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of enclosure, having annulled the enmity in his flesh, the law of commandments and ordinances, that he might form the two in himself into one new man, making peace, and might reconcile both in one body to God by the cross, having by it slain the enmity. And, coming, he has preached the glad tidings of peace to you who were afar off, and the glad tidings of peace to those who were nigh. There is a song that has recently been released, and the chorus of the song includes these three statements. There's not enough hope in the world. There's not enough peace in the world. There's not enough love in the world. And this has been on my heart in relation to this occasion. Not enough love, not enough peace, and not enough hope in the world. How true it is. A very true statement. I can tell you that tonight, if you're looking for these three things in the world, you won't find them. The only one you will find them in is Jesus. And he's not in the world. He was in the world. He came to this earth over 2,000 years ago. And Christians celebrate this Easter weekend the fact that he was here, and the fact that he died, and that he was raised again, and that he's now in heaven at God's right hand, crowned with glory and honour. But he was here. He was here to show the heart of love towards man. He was here to bring peace to man. He was here to bring hope to man. And he was rejected. They said at the time, away with this man. We don't want you. We hate you. Why was he rejected? Jealousy, on the most part. Think of who he was. Think of how perfect he was. You know, when you're at school, just a feeling that is real to me anyway, there's always one, the teacher's pet, always, in our eyes, there's always doing his very best just for the teacher so that he can get the gold star, he or she. And that person becomes an object of ridicule, an object of jealousy. But that's what we feel real down, and that's deep down, and that's how we react to jealousy. It's a very simple way of putting it, but that's what it was like with the Lord. He exposed people. He exposes me, he exposes you, as we put ourselves alongside him, the perfect man. He exposes us for what we are, sinners. And we realise that we can never measure up to that, so we want to do away with it. And so they nailed him to a cross. He was rejected, the Prince of Peace, the one who displayed the heart of love, the heart of love of a Saviour God to his creature, was rejected. The one who came to bring hope to a hopeless world was rejected. He chose instead a murderer and a thief. So if you want to look out in the world tonight and you want to blame somebody for the conditions that abound in the world, for the terrible atrocities that happen, for everything that's wrong in the world, don't blame God. We have to look at ourselves for that. You say, oh, I wasn't there 2,000 years ago. No, you weren't. But my heart and your heart are no different to the hearts of those at that time. Make no mistake about it, we would have made the same decision to choose a murderer, one who was like us. Made more sense than to choose the one who was perfect. But tonight, dear friend, God is giving you the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your Saviour. Because Jesus never left this world the way it was when he came in. He left this world with hope. He left this world with the glad tidings. He left this world as having given himself and stood in your place and in my place at Calvary's cross to face the judgment of God against the sins that you and I committed, that you might have hope, that you might have peace, that you might have an understanding of the depths of God's love for you. So let me ask you tonight, dear friend, first and foremost, what are you hoping in? What is your trust in? What is your future hope? And is it beyond death? How far ahead do you hope? Things might happen. We live in a world at the moment that we don't know what's happening from day to day. Well, we have hope, perhaps a little this year, that if it all goes to according to plan, restrictions might be eased. We might be able to see one another. We might be even able to hug one another. Might be able to have people into our homes again. But these things are all hope based on conditions that might be met. Dear friend, I can tell you tonight that you can have a hope not based on whether conditions might be met, but a hope sure and certain, fixed, because the conditions were met at Calvary's cross. That you might have this hope. And hope not just for a day, or 2 days, or a week, or a year, or 5 years, but a hope that lasts beyond death. A hope that is eternal. A hope that is secure in the blood of Jesus Christ shed at Calvary's cross. And this is what God himself says. for I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Now this was written said to Jeremiah the prophet towards his people, towards God's people Israel. They were going into captivity. There was they had disobeyed God for years and years and years. God had spoken to them time and time and time again, had kept speaking to them, warning them of what was going to happen if they didn't listen to him. And finally God says that he could go no further. He had to bring in a period of judgment and adjustment to them. 70 years they were going to be in captivity. But think of the goodness of God, that he gave this a specific time period. It wasn't unending. There was a start point and there was an end point. And God is telling them here, look, you're going to have... I'm going to give you a future. I'm going to give you hope. The other renderings of this... the rendering of this scripture in other translations is to give you a hope. To give you a future. To give you hope. God's telling them here, he's going to give them a future. He's going to give them hope. It might be bad just now. And that was because of their willfulness and their sinfulness. How often has that got us into trouble ourselves, you know? Our own will. Our own sin. And God knows all about it. And he's telling you tonight that he's of the thoughts of peace that he thinks towards you, and the thoughts of the thoughts that he thinks towards you, and he wants to give you a future and he wants to give you hope. How blessed is that, you know, that a God who we have offended, a God who we have sinned against, and yet he thinks peace towards us. He says in other scriptures, no, that we're enemies of God. We've made ourselves that. God's not our enemy. God doesn't think of us as enemies. But because of what we have done, because of our sinfulness, because of our own self-will, you know, but God thinks thoughts of peace towards you. God wants to give you a hope and to give you a future. A future that is beyond death. And make no mistake about it, there is an afterlife. There is after death. Scripture says it is appointed for men once to die, and after death, the judgment. And dear friend, if you want to be secure and safe from judgment eternally, you have to make a decision for Christ tonight. You have to lay hold of the promises of God and of what Jesus has done on the cross. And then this hope, this future, can be yours. This future, you know, is a glorious future. A future with Christ in heaven, which is unimaginable. It's unspeakable what it will be. We don't know what it will be. You can take all the good things in this world that we can do, that you enjoy to do, and it will far surpass and outweigh all of that. And what is your hope in? What are you trusting in? What do you put your confidence in? I've read in Psalm 146, you know, too often we put our faith and our trust and our confidence and our hope in things in this world. But God, you know, God is trying to wake man up. He's trying to wake us up tonight. He's been trying to wake us up for the past 2,000 years, you know. Now, this past year especially, God has shaken the world. He says, what are you trusting in? What are you trusting in? Are you trusting in the currencies of this world? Are you trusting in the financial markets? Are you trusting in governments? Are you trusting in anything that this world is built upon tonight? Because it's all going to come crashing down. It's not secure. Its foundation is not secure. Dear friend, this world is headed for judgment. And God is pre-warning Mankind, at this very moment in time, this past year, you know, has been terrible for mankind. But it is nothing in comparison to what is coming. And God is warning you tonight that if your hope and trust is in this world system, it is doomed to failure because it is built up on man who has failed. The only thing that you can have full faith and confidence and trust in tonight is God Himself. You know, think of the folly of putting your trust in man. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth, and that very day his purposes perish. You know, you can have all the good ideas that you want. You can have all the good deeds that you would like to do set out. Your purposes for life, you know, what you want to do, whether it's give to charity or head up charitable organisations or go to other countries to help in oppressed, war-torn lands. These are all good things, you know. But in the day that your breath goeth forth, these purposes perish. It's gone. And after a few years, you'll be forgotten about. So why do we put our confidence and our trust in something that is temporal? Something that is finite? Something that will end? Why do we put our faith and trust in that? Blessed is he who hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in Jehovah, his God. Dear friend, God is eternal. From eternity to eternity, he is God. And he wants to give you a hope. And you know, in trusting in God, you trust in the eternal one. And that trust and that hope will never ever be let down. Just think in your life over the amount of times you may have been let down by those close to us. By our wives, by our husbands, by our family, by our friends. You know, we're all human. I'm not here to judge. We're all human. We let each other down all the time. We have to say we're sorry. Apologize. Make up for mistakes that we have made. You know, we do it all the time. It's human. It's human error. It's who we are. But you know, God is perfect. And God will never let you down. Think of the amazing fact that you can have a hope in one who will never let you down. Who can never let you down. It says that God is faithful and he cannot deny himself. If God sets out to bless you, he will do it. And God has set out to bless you. God wants to bless you. God desires to bless you tonight. You know, and it's incredible. He has a righteous basis to do so because of the finished work of Jesus at Calvary's cross. God is righteous. God is holy. We, on the other hand, are sinners. The two can never meet. They're so far opposed from one another. You know, between God and ourselves, there is a great chasm. But you know that chasm has not been fixed. Not yet. It will be one day. But not just now. And there is a way. There is a way. You know. Because God has come out in blessing towards you and I. And there is a way that that chasm can be crossed. And that is in the finished work of Jesus Christ at Calvary's cross. And that is why he came. That's why Jesus came. That's why he lived over 2,000 years ago. That's why over 2,000 years ago, he was nailed to a cross. For you and for me, not for himself. It was not for his own sins. He never sinned. He was perfect. He was holy. He was righteous. He was God. He was here on behalf of mankind. On behalf of you and I. On behalf of every single man, woman and child that's ever lived in this world. He was here on behalf of us. And he, might say, stood in that breach. He faced a holy and righteous God. In respect of the sins that you and I had committed. He stood there. He was nailed to that cross. And God poured out a judgment on his head for the sins that you and I have committed. For all the wrong things. Just think of all the wrong deeds that you have done. I don't know them. I don't want to know them. It's not my place to know them. But God knows all about them. Jesus knows all about them. And dear friend, Jesus suffered for your sins on Calvary's cross. If you put your faith and trust in it. If you come and accept him as your saviour, you know. You can say that Jesus went there for you. It's a very personal matter, the glad tidings. It's between you and your God. So that's hope. What about love? I've read this short passage in Galatians. This love was so personal to Paul, who wrote the epistle. And I love this scripture. The Son of God, who has loved me and has given himself for me. How incredible, you know. How amazing. That the Son of God, Jesus Christ, loved me and he gave himself for me. Dear friend, can you say that? Do you know what that means? To have an understanding that one so great, one so holy, one so amazing, so divine, came to this world, set aside his majesty, set aside who he was, came in, and it says in the scriptures, we've already had it this weekend, the one who humbled, the one who emptied himself in coming into manhood's form, came from Godhead's highest glory to be found as a babe in Bethlehem's manger. To walk this scene, this earth, this very earth, this world, which his hands had made. And to be ridiculed, to be spat upon, to be beaten, to be jailed, and finally, to be crucified. And that's all that man did to him. And then, in those 3 hours of darkness, to suffer for your sins and for mine. Is there love like that in the world tonight? Can you find anybody who would do that for you? You might find somebody who would go to the shops for you, or would sit by your bedside, or would help you in whatever way you needed help. But would you find someone who was willing, if they could even, to face a penalty that was due to you? Say you had committed some crime, and would somebody be prepared to face the judgment for that crime for you? I don't think so. I wouldn't. But Jesus did. Jesus faced the punishment that should have been borne by you and me for the sins that we have committed. How amazing is that? How much love? How wondrous is that love? The Son of God who has loved me and given himself for me. My dear friend, can you say those words? Can you say them from your heart? But the one who loved you and gave himself for you. And the one who still loves you. Can I say that? It's not a past love. It's a present love. Jesus loves you. And tonight he wants to tell you that. He wants to take you to the cross and say, look what I've done for you. Look what I've done for you. And all he's asking for in return is for you to put your faith and trust in him. That's all he's asking for. Not some amazing deed. He's not asking you to do some great thing. He's just simply saying, just as you are, come to me. Come to me, and I will give you rest. Come to me, and I will give you peace. Because I've made peace, Jesus can say to you, I've made peace by the blood that I have shed on Calvary's cross. That blood that cleanses from every sin. So that when God sees that blood, sees you covered by the blood of Jesus that was shed on Calvary's cross, what does he see? Does he see a sinner? No, dear friend. He sees Jesus, and you are justified. You can go out free. No more sin. God looks upon you as if you'd never sinned. All your sins, past, present, future sins, we're still in the flesh, we're still human. And while we're human, we will sin. But all is covered by the blood of Jesus. How amazing that such a one would give his life for me, would shed his precious blood, would suffer, as the scripture says, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, that the God and mankind might be reconciled forever. Jesus paid the debt. That is love. What about peace? What peace do you have? What peace do you have apart from what Jesus has done on the cross? There is no peace in the world. Oh, there's peace deals made between different parties all the time. One another, one way and another, they always break down. They're always based on compromise. On you do this and I'll do that and we'll have peace. But you know, there was no compromise when it came to making peace with God. God's righteousness, God's holiness demanded that there would be the debt would be paid. Debt had to be paid. There is a hymn, I'll find it. $357 in our book. God could not pass the sinner by. Justice demands that he should die. But in the cross of Christ we see how God can save, yet righteous be. For us to have peace in our souls, peace in our hearts, justice had to be met. Righteousness, God's righteousness had to be met. God's holiness had to be met. There was no way that God could compromise on these things. But God provided a way that his holiness and his righteousness could be satisfied, but also his love could be satisfied. And that way was in Jesus Christ himself, who made peace by the blood of his cross. Therefore, we who once were afar off, we had no hope, and we were without God. You know, the Jew could claim at a time that he had the promises of God. And to some extent today he can still do that. But there is no hope for the Jew particularly, except right now through putting their faith and trust in Jesus. And it is the same for everyone in the world. Because God is no respecter of person. Whether you're agnostic, whether you're atheist, I don't know your background. I don't know who's listening to this. It doesn't matter what colour you are or what part of the world you're from. God is interested in you for who you are. God knows who you are. God created you the way you are. And God loves you. We're all sinners before the sight of a holy and righteous God. That's all that matters. In Christianity, that's all that matters. We're all sinners. But as we accept that, you know, God is a Saviour for us. We were without Christ. We're aliens from the promises of Israel. Without hope. And without God. You see, without God, there is no hope. But with God, there is hope. For He is our peace. That's Jesus. He, the person of Jesus, is our peace. Put your faith and trust in Him. In a person. In someone who will not let you down. In someone who loved you so much that He gave His own life for you. And then verse 17, and coming He has preached the glad tidings of peace to you who are afar off. These are glad tidings of peace. God wants you to have peace. God wants you to have peace with Him. And we don't make, you know, as an expression in the world, have you made your peace with God? We can't make our peace with God. We can do nothing to affect our relationship with God in that way. The only thing we can do is come and accept Jesus Christ as our Saviour. He is the one who has made peace. He is the one who has done everything to satisfy God's holiness and God's righteousness and to meet our requirements as sinners. Because God wants to bless you. God is coming out and blessing towards you tonight. God wants you to have a hope, to have a future. God wants you to understand the depths of His love for you. God wants you to have peace in your heart. And the cross of Christ is where we understand that. And where we understand how much God desires to give you that. His only begotten Son, the Son in whom He loved, it speaks of in the Scripture. He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on Him may not perish, but have life eternal. There's your hope. Life eternal. Life with Jesus. My dear friend, it can be yours tonight, and it will lay hold of it. Lay hold of it for yourself, that you might have a hope, might have a future. The alternative, I must mention, if you refuse God's offer in the glad tidings, if you do not accept Jesus as your Saviour, if you say, I don't need it, it's not for me. One day, you will find out what a terrible decision that was. For if there is heaven, if there is a hope, if there is a future, which there most certainly is, dear friend, it's not a hope that is baseless. It's not a hope that is based on nothing. It is a true and certain hope. Then there must be a hell. Because God has given you the opportunity to decide for Christ tonight. It's not a choice, dear friend. Jesus is presented for your acceptance. But if you refuse to accept Jesus Christ, your Saviour, God has nothing else to offer you. He has given His very best. And if you refuse, dear friend, God may take that refusal as your last decision. God only has to speak to us once. And this may be the last gospel preaching that is ever spoken. Who knows? Jesus is coming back. This world is drawing to a close. This world will not go on forever. If you refuse God's offer in the glad tidings, there is nothing that awaits you except an eternity without Christ in hell. an eternity of regret, an eternity of missed opportunities. How awful. That's when that chasm will be fixed. There'll be no crossing over. There'll be no hope. There'll be nothing. There'll be no peace. There'll be no love. Oh, dear friend, the awfulness of it. And I must warn you, it's part of the glad tidings. But, dear friend, the blessing is can be yours tonight. There's no need for you to find yourself in a Christless eternity. Come and accept Jesus Christ as your Saviour. Open up your heart to Him. Find in Him your hope, your peace. Find in Him all the love you could ever need or imagine. You don't need to look for it in the world. You don't need to look for it in self-help books. You don't need to look for it in medication. All these things can be found in Jesus Christ. Love, hope, and peace. May you find these three things tonight. May they be yours. Lay hold of them. They can be yours. They can be your possessions. Just think of what Jesus has done for you. And may God bless the word. Amen.